I think that I'm ready to begin on a project here that I have put off too long, so far as especially you, Nancy, is concerned. And Clarence, I just got your letter about what you wanted in 125, it was dated. But anyway, I'll get to it now. I have plenty of time today. It's too cold to do anything else but sit right here in our apartment. It's nice and comfortable and warm, but it's cold out there. It got down to 4 or 5 below, something like that, last night. That's the coldest it's been this year. But anyway, both of you, I'm citing this same cassette, same information that I'm giving both to you, Nancy, and Clarence. Nancy, I might tell Clarence anyway, Nancy is my niece. That's Wanda's oldest daughter. She's asked for about the same thing you have as to information about our ancestors. And Clarence Hyatt, I tell you, Nancy, Clarence Hyatt is my cousin, first cousin to my dad, and second cousin as he would be to me. We have been very close throughout the years. Well, all of us have. Our family seems to have been very close-knit families all the way along. And this, of course, is what we appreciate. I think this is a product of the Christian grace of God that's been bestowed upon our families. And as far back as we know anything about them, they have been Christians and they have walked with God. They haven't all been angels, of course, but anyway, we've had the heritage of Christian background and tradition. That's very, very dear to us. The fact of the case is, Leo and I are working on don't know just what you'd call it, a kind of a document, maybe, which would stipulate our generation, the fact that we are passing the torch of Christian faith on to those, our descendants, that are following after us. And which I think will be, should be a great help. It's the least we can do in trying to pass the torch of faith in God down to those that's following us and following all of our ancestors, I mean our descendants, down as far as we can bring them go. Anyway, so I will start back the farthest that I know, and Clarence, you probably know much about, maybe more about things back there than I do, as far as Reuben and Sophie is concerned. But let's go back to year 1000. Year 1, that's about 1000. It would be 1000. That was at the time of the Crusades. And the Steiningers must have had a part in the war or whatever it was of the Crusades. I don't know much about that. But anyway, we had a coat of arms that was given to the Steininger, some Steiningers. I don't know just who or where they would come in our family, in our background. But their name was spelled a little different than ours, however. Now, it was spelled Steininger. You might remember that that Claude Steininger, who was the postal, head of the postal department in Angola. No. Well, don't come to me right now, and that's where the trouble will be, I'm sure, is to remember places and names like I would like to. Anyway, Claude Steininger we couldn't identify him and his family and related to ours, but we're sure that back there somewhere or another they must have been. But anyway, Claude Steininger had, and he gave to us a copy of the coat of arms that was given to the Steiningers during the Crusades in the year of 1000. And but I don't have it here. I've got it somewhere, but I don't have it right before me now. But some of the family does have it, I know. Now, that brings us down to Reuben and Sulfa Steininger. Reuben and Sulfa came here, as I understood it anyway, about somewhere shortly after 1800. Clarence, now you would know more about that maybe than I, but I believe that was about it. And they came here to escape the war that they didn't believe in that was going on. Now, maybe I'll go back just a little bit on that. It was in Germany. They were originally from Germany, but because of the war threats that was brewing at that time, they didn't believe in, not that they didn't believe in fighting for their country, but they didn't believe in the cause that was back of the war, whatever it was. So they migrated down to Holland and was there for, well, I have no idea how long. But as I said, somewhere, I think shortly after the 18th century, 1800, pardon me, they came to America and they settled in Pennsylvania. I don't know for sure, let's see, where would it have been in Pennsylvania? Lancaster, I guess it's called, was where they settled. And settled in a farm. I don't know whether they, how they bought it or homesteaded or what, I don't know. But they farmed there then for a while and then came later on to Indiana. And it may not have been in Pennsylvania very long before they came to Indiana. And they settled then near Rochester, right almost the place where you, of course, Clarence lives now. I think, if I got it correctly, Clarence, that they, their home was the place where you was raised, and they, on the farm next to your place, your farm there, where Uncle Chance and Aunt Lula lived and, I guess, raised their family there. Now, let's go back now to Reuben and Sulfa. Now, when they came here, as I got it, Reuben's brother came with them, or maybe his family came along, I don't know. But if, from what we can gather, they went and settled in Michigan, but we didn't ever keep the touch of with them, just to who or where they are, what their actual names are. I'd be interesting to know that. But, let's see, now, where are we here? They settled there. Now, they had, Reuben and Sulfa, had, what was it, six children. I thought it was five, but your letter, Clarence, that you sent to me has six on them. I believe the oldest one was Henry, you know, Henry Steininger. He and Aunt Sued, yeah, Aunt Sued was his wife. They settled on a farm that evidently I would guess that Reuben gave to them, which was next to their farm where they raised their family. Then Howard, which was my grandfather, was next to him. I assume, Clarence, that you had these in rotation according to their age. I'm not sure. But I thought Howard was down the line farther, but maybe not. Then Reverend George Steininger was one of the sons. From what I gather, he left Indiana and went out west to some western state. And I don't guess they are bunch here really ever heard much of him, except just to know where he was. But for some reason, he was a minister, went out there. I don't know if he went out there to preach or what, but anyway, we seem to have lost track of him. Then Frank Steininger was next on the list, and he was, he and his wife, Frank and her name don't come to me, but I know you know, Clarence. They raised their family in Michigan, someplace in Michigan, I'm not sure where. Then Milo came next, and he and his family lived in the Whippoorwill neighborhood, well, really over across the river, I guess, for the most part. They raised their family across the Tippecanoe River from the Whippoorwill neighborhood, Grandview Church for there. And what I remember about Uncle Milo, he just didn't want any electric lights or any electricity of any kind in his house. And so they bought another house on the opposite side of the river, over there, down in the South Germany area, I believe. Yes, it was now. As I remember, I was just a young fellow, went to see them one time, I guess just after I was in the ministry. And I believe I cut Uncle Milo's hair while I was there, as near as I can remember. But anyway, he didn't want even any wires in his house, so he had them all taken out before he moved over there. Much to the displeasure of his family, I think. Then Catherine Lula, which was Clarence's, of course, your mother. I didn't really know what her first name was, but it's Catherine Lula. We always knew her by Aunt Lulie. Now they lived, she married Uncle Chance Hyatt, and they lived on the old place where Reuben and Sofa lived. I'm right on that, I think, Clarence. Correct me some way or another if that isn't, but I believe that is right. Now, I see in your letter, Clarence, you ask about Howard and question marks, 18 what, and Elizabeth, Aunt Lizzie, we call her, that was Howard's wife. And I don't know, I have no idea what, when they're, I suppose you mean by that their birthdays or something, but anyway, I don't know anything about that part of it at all. But, now let's see, Howard and Frank, Milo, I think that gets about all of them. Now, what is it now? Let's see. All right, now, my grandfather, Howard Steininger, was also a minister. But he turned out to be quite a disappointment to all of us. Of course, I was before my time. He went bad morally. We hoped that he got back before the end of his life, but I don't think we've got any absolute assurance at all that he did. But anyway, he and Grandma Steininger, that's Eliza, they separated. They never divorced, but they separated. And after he was pastor at Logansport Evangelical Church at that time, and when they separated, Grandpa and my dad went out towards Royal Center, that was west of Logansport, and they lived on a little farm, the two of them together out there, and Grandma stayed in Logansport somewhere. Anyway, Dad seemed to have somewhat of a sympathetic feeling towards his dad that most of the rest of the family didn't share too much, I think, if I got it correctly. So I think maybe I'd better stop here and see for sure that this is a recording properly.
And what God is telling us is all that does not...
You want to say something here? No. Okay, I know one thing by listening to what I said here, that I must be too close to the mic here, because it's getting quite a bit of distortion. So they just came in my study here, and I don't know whether to call this my study or my studio. It's all purpose room, I guess, is mine. And so hey, now then, we'll let's go on here. Kind of forgot where. Oh yes, back to Grandpa Steininger. And now, when they lived in Logansport, they pastored there. They had evidently their whole family, which was Irvin, of course, the oldest one, and then Dad came in next, and then next to him was Herman, and he married Grace Herbig, and they had, well, I better go on ahead here with that Logansport. And then next to him was George. Next to George, no, before George was Gladys. I guess between Herbert, meaning Herman and George. No, that's not right. Gladys was between Dad and Herman, I believe. Then Herman, and then George, and then Charlotte was the youngest. And that was the family they had when they were in Logansport. So at some time after that, after they broke up, and after Grandpa gave up the church and so on, he decided to take his family and go to Arkansas. So he bought a farm down there and took his family down. That was all of them. I don't believe Irvin went along. Well, no, Dad didn't either. Dad had his family by that time when he went. Now, wait a minute. No, that's not right. After they went down there, now Dad, at least Dad didn't go along with them. I don't know whether how many of the rest of them did. I know that, Herman, Gladys, George, and Charlotte went along down with Grandpa, and of course, Grandma Liza, Grandma Steininger, went with them, and with him, and they settled down in Arkansas. Grandpa bought the farm, a little farm down there, and Grandma managed the hotel. I don't think she owned it. I don't know whether she did or not, but she had the hotel, little hotel, in Beebe, Arkansas. And George and Charlotte was with her, stayed with her. But apparently soon after they moved down there, Gladys met Charlie Fisher, and they married and raised their family then in Beebe, Arkansas. But then in time, I don't know just how long it was after they went down there, Grandpa wrote a letter to my dad, pleading for Dad to come, bring his family down. Grandpa had a little house there, and probably more than four rooms or something like that, almost pled for Dad to come down and help him, but he was just snowed under with something. So Dad had pity on him, which he always did have, especially, and so he took his family, which included, of course, my mother, myself, Dee, and Emmett. That's the three of us children. I was 8 at the time, and took us down to Beebe, Arkansas, and we lived in that little two-room apartment, possibly four-room house down there, and Grandpa also. But it didn't work out at all well. It wasn't a successful move, as far as Dad was concerned. One thing I do remember was that he had $200 in his pocket when he went down, and had $2.50 when he came back. He went down on Christmas and came back on Christmas. So wasn't very profitable as far as he was concerned. And so he, where were we here? But so they stayed just a year, and my mother just couldn't take it. Grandpa was pretty difficult, very difficult, I guess, to get along with. And so they came back then to Indiana, that mother with his family. While they were there, Leo was born and in Arkansas. Came back here and then rented a farm. He worked on a farm by the months for a while. One farm then went to another one, which he farmed himself. And that place was where Wanda was born. And then, yes, I can remember that when she was born, it was, as I remember it, a very, very, the worst storm that the country had had for a long, long time, and the doctor had a time of getting there to deliver her. And I can well remember, I was young and I didn't realize what was going on, but I remember that I, upstairs in bed, and I heard her crying down there. And that was a surprise to me where that was coming from. But then I found out that I had a sister. So, there's lots of things. There's too much there to go through all of that. But now, let's go back here to the family, to Henry, to Henry Steininger. He had one son, and his name was Arley. Arley had, three or four children. Three, I guess it was. Four children, two boys and two girls, as I remember it. And now to Howard, of course, he had five children. We don't know anything about George, what his family was. I think we don't know how many that Frank had, but I believe they had three children, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure they do. Can't remember her name, his wife's name. Milo must have had about, five or six, something like that. And let's see. Well, there it is. I know each one of them, but I can't remember their names. And I believe that Uncle Chance and Aunt Luli had one, two, three, four. Right? Yes. That was, Dee was the oldest one. Then was Faye. And then was Fernie. No, then was Clarence. And Fernie was the youngest. I think I'm right on that, yes. Now, Faye, Clarence, and Fernie are still living. I don't think Dee is. I think Dee has been dead for a while. And so they, now, Clarence, give this, you know Clarence, how many you have, but Nancy don't, so... you had, five? I think you had four boys and a girl, right, in your family. And Charlotte, your wife, Clarence's wife, passed away, 20 years ago, was it? Is that long? Something like that. A little longer. And, let's see. Now, where are we going to go from here now? Now, especially for your benefit now, Nancy, say the descendants of Forrest Steininger, which probably would be of special interest to you. Forrest, wait a minute, could we say just a word about Irvin? Irvin was the oldest, and Irvin was known at the age of about 7 and 8 as the Hoosier Boy Orator. And he was quite an orator. Grandpa would create the messages or the speeches that he would give, and then he'd memorize them and give them. And he spoke, as I got the story, in large auditoriums throughout northern Indiana and I guess over in Chicago, and was becoming quite popular as a boy orator. Now, he married Ruby, I don't know what her last name was. They had two children, Bud and Thelma Phillips now, but has been dead for several years. Now, of the dad's family, I myself, of course, the oldest. Then after me is Dee. I married May Steininger back in 1931, somewhere in there. And we had our family. It was March the 12th, 1932, so May reminds me now. And her name was May Meinert, I think I said. M-E-I. M-E-I.
My dad came from Bohemia.
What did he do over there? How old was he when he came here? How old was your dad when he came here? From Bohemia.
He was 17 years old.
What was his occupation?
He had taken training under a baker, and he got what they call the Bake Master Certificate, and he brought that to the United States, and he always baked. He always said that he did not work with his hands, a shovel, meaning that he was in the baking business all of his life, and he was a good baker, and brought over one of the original pumpernickel recipes, took it to a baker in Chicago, and from there he came on down eventually to Logansport, and I don't know just the date.
He was a good baker.
You better believe he was.
Yes, he was. That pretty much gets that into our union. There was born.
All of those good pastries that he could make. And every time I would want to go out and buy a chocolate cookie, like you get in the stores, he'd say, "What's the matter with those good rolls that I make? But I like chocolate."
Okay. All right, now let's see. Yes, it was in 1933, Donna was born at Logansport. And at that time, I was in my first pastorate, a short pastorate in the Church of God in Peru, Indiana, just for a very short while. Then we organized quite a number of churches then. Well, the fact is, all together, 21 churches, Nazarene churches. And our first church was reorganizing of the Nazarene church in Logansport. And then from there, we went over to Peru and organized the Nazarene church there. That was after I pastored the Church of God there. And I went back to Peru again. We did another 7 months that time after the church was organized. And I was with the church 7 months. I'm not going over all the churches that we organized, but anyway, we went to North Manchester and organized the church there. And it was there that Bill was born, our second one. And Connie was born in Auburn. I remember we lived in Auburn. I was in the evangelistic field at that time, and the church there gave me a call to hold a revival meeting in the church at the time that they knew that Connie would be born, would come. So that pretty well takes care of our family. Donna has four children, three boys and a girl, and Bill has three children. They have their oldest and his Brad, and he married Wanda, and I don't remember her first name or last name. They have one little one at this time, and another one on its way at this time. And let me see. Then the next one is Barbie, who is finishing up her last year of medical school in Jefferson, at a school of medicine, Jefferson School of Medicine in Philadelphia. She'll be finishing up this spring, and at the same time, about a day or so after she graduates, she will be married to a surgeon. Who is a brother of three other boys, and they're all surgeons. And their dad is a MD, medical doctor.